a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon. South Dakota Senate will now come to order. And leading us in prayer today is Chaplain Reverend Susan Carr. And the page of the day is Kara Fishback from Millette, leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. God, eternally gracious, God, for whom we have many names, we now offer our thanks for the opportunities and the challenges of this new day. We thank you that you are always willing to guide and direct those who are willing to obediently listen to your word. For we are a people in need of leadership, noble and wise in these days, for we live in a time of great transition and change. A time when who we have been may not necessarily be who we will become. So as these changes envelop us, we walk without a clear vision of how things will unfold, who will be impacted, and we ask that you would cause us to remember that you have brought your people through difficult places before and will do so yet again as we turn to you. Help us to trust that you are already making a way where there may not always seem to be a way, that you are a help and strength to those who call upon your name. We remember, O God, your servant Esther, and the words to her, "Who knows, you may have been chosen for just such a time as this." We trust, O God, that you have called forth wise and courageous men and women to this place for just such a time as this. We thank you for your hand placed upon them to keep them humble and honest, ready to speak, ready to listen, ready to wait, ready to act. We pray, O God, for discerning hearts and seeking minds. We pray your blessing upon these public servants and ask your protection to be upon them. We remember this day especially our educators and our children, and thank you for the many gifts they provide to us, and the future they hold before us. Bless all those who lead, O God. Bless our state, bless our nation, and our world for your sake. Amen.
Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Adelstein, Bogalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Cutler, Frerichs, Frisley, Garnels, Gray, Hansen, Haverly, Heineman, Holeen, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Johnston, Krause, Krebs, Lederman, Maher, Nelson, Nordstrup, Nygaard, Olson, Peters, Putnam, Rampelberg, Rave, Roden, Schleckaway, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Valley. There's a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 31st day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Welcome, everyone, to the South Dakota Senate and those listening on the Internet, South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Would you, Senators, please join Senator Garnos in welcoming the Jones County government class. Jennifer McNaughton is their instructor, and Del Brost is their bus driver, and thank you for bringing him here. Del, good job. Everybody, stand up, please. And again, we thank Dr. Steve Schrader, who's here as from Miller, and his wife Connie, who have come, and Dr. Schrader is our doctor of the day and served in many capacities. He's been doctor of the day a couple of times, but volunteering his day here. And thank you for taking care of us again, doctor. Dr. Steve Schrader. Motions and resolutions, please.
Senator Valley moves that Senate Pays Resolution number 4 be adopted.
Let's go ahead and vote, or we're going to vote after the conversation here. Senator Valley, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, we have had just one great class of pages, and we've really enjoyed you, and we appreciate all that you have done. You know, we sometimes take for granted all the work you do when you're getting our committee books straight, you're getting all our stuff for us here for our desk. You keep us so we aren't late for a committee meeting because we got a bill in one committee and we're in another one, and you keep us from getting from one committee to the other and not missing a vote. And then you do the simple things, like when your computer goes out and you need a cord real quick, or you need a glass of water. And why are those small things important? Because it allows us to keep our concentration on what we're doing. So we really appreciate that. And members of the Senate, this is our future right here. And I implore you pages to stay involved. The future is what you make of it, and I'm confident of that future. So again, we appreciate all you've done, and thank you for your service to the 86th session of the South Dakota Senate.
Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. First off, the cheerleaders at our basketball game must have been pretty good to us, because we know how the kids voting Liberty basketball game turned out last week. So thank you so much for that effort. I do need to call attention to one of the pages. In fact, it happens to be a page that I sponsored, Reagan Olson. Her grandfather served in the legislature for 16 years. Maury Olson served from up in the northeast part of our state. And, you know, for her to be out here to be able to witness what he was a part of, I think is very memorable. And I'm sure some of the members of this body, or maybe some of our relatives, served with Morris Olson. So I think it's very important to remember him. And I'm very glad to have Reagan be a part of things. And we certainly appreciate all of your help. Thank you to the pages on behalf of all of us. And we hope that you have very safe travels back home. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, we're going to present you pages with resolutions, copies. And I'll read them off. And if you would step up and receive them as I read off your name. Madeline Kerr. Excuse me, we start with Cara. Cara Fishback, right? You have that? There we got it. Peyton Healy. Max Kennedy. Madeline Kerr. There we got it. Victoria Kinkler. Reagan Olson.
Sadie Stevens.
Jesse Todd. And Caitlin Warnson. We always have to ask this, is that all? Because we get everyone? Ladies and gentlemen, what a great group of pages. Thank you for your service, and as both the senators said, you are called to serve on this earth, and we know that you'll continue, so thank you very much. Now get us a pop, will you? Yes, we're going to vote now. All those in favor of that resolution, I will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein.
Aye.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters. Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 34 ayes and one excused.
Senator Valley's motion that the Senate page resolution 4 be adopted, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed and so adopted. Let's go to reports of standing committees, please.
Mr. President, the Committee on Education respectfully reports that it has had under consideration House Bill 1235 and recommends said bill do pass, and House Bill 1093 and recommends said bill be amended and pass as amended. Cooper Garnos, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports has had under consideration House Bills 1003, 1145, 1087, 1219, and 1242 and recommends said bills do pass, and the nomination of Deborah Flute and recommends confirmation of said nomination, and House Bill 1161, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Craig Teason, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Commerce and Energy respectfully reports that it has had under consideration House Bill 1128, which was tabled. Tom Nelson, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources has had under consideration the nominations of Scott A. Vance and Catherine M. Peterson and recommends confirmation of said nominations. Chantel Krebs, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Appropriations respectfully reports that has had under consideration House Bill 1245 and recommends said bill do pass as amended. Corey Brown, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bills 55, 57, 93, 101, 114, 121, 158, 187, and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Thank you. Reports. Did we have any selects?
No.
No. Okay. Messages, please.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that Senate Bills 123 and 81 were lost on second reading and final passage. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to return here with Senate Bills 57, 93, 101, 114, 121, 158, and 187, which have passed the House without change. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to return here with Senate Bills 77, 80, 109, and 151, which have been amended by the House. And your concurrence in the amendments is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Karen Gertis, Chief Clerk.
And we're back to motions and resolutions.
Senator Frerichs moves that the Committee on Education be instructed to deliver House Bill 1229 to the floor of the Senate pursuant to Joint Rule 7-7.
Is there a second? Comments on that motion? Senator Frerichs, good afternoon again.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, and thank you. I'll do my best to keep my remarks as germane to the motion, although I hope you'll allow me a little bit of indulgence, but more importantly, just to inform everyone, House Bill 1229 is a governor's bill, which might seem kind of ironic for some of you, but I do think Governor Dennis Zugard is a fine gentleman, and he brought a good piece of legislation here, and it's great to see what can happen. And I guess having not been on the Education Committee, I will not say that I was there and a part of the process, so I will not address that from that standpoint. But what I will address is that House Bill 1229 would remove that arbitrary 100 cap as far as students required to operate for a local school district. And it's something that is a very good piece of legislation. I hope that we could have discussion on the floor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Comments on the motion? Further comments on the motion?
Can I have it? Yeah, I know. Do you have a motion?
Okay, thanks. Sorry. Is there any comments on the motion? Okay, is he supported? Or Senator Garnas, did you want to comment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate that.
Be seated, please.
The comment I would make, I hope we can all stay in our chairs. I think this had thorough debate. I think we've had this issue from years past, and I don't think it's needed. Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments? Is he supported? He is not.
Senator Cutler moves that the Committee on Judiciary be instructed to deliver House Bill 1184 to the floor of the Senate pursuant to Joint Rule 7-7.
It's quite a motion, Senator Cutler. Is there a second? Thank Thank you. Comments, Senator?
Well, thank you, Mr. President and members of the Senate. I'm sorry. This bill, as you know, the term subrogation, that's the title of the bill, it's in the title of the bill, deals with how those of us who hold insurance policies are compensated. And this bill has a very interesting history. It met with approval on its journey through its House committee and was approved on the House floor and made it to Senate Judiciary, where the day of the hearing, unfortunately and unbeknownst to me, the top two prime proponents were not able to be there. One was called out of town and had to fly to Indianapolis. The other one went in the ditch on the way to the committee hearing. And I was not able, because I didn't know that during the time of the hearing, I was not able to ask the committee chair to extend the hearing to a later date. It lost in Senate Judiciary on a 4-3 vote, and I believe that had our other proponents, who were actually the strongest of all of our proponents, been able to be there, I would hope that perhaps we would have had a different result. It's an important policy issue for all of us statewide, and I hope that you could support me in bringing this bill to the floor and having that discussion. We also are working on some compromise language in the form of an amendment that we think can bring parties together. And with that, I would ask you to kindly support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senator Cutler's motion. Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. The chair had to leave, so I just want to give you a report. The committee had a full hearing on this issue. We gave each side a half hour each to present their arguments, and we had a rebuttal. It was a very, very fair hearing, and I would urge you to resist the motion for a smokeout, because I think it was a very factual, very, very fair hearing, and so I'd suggest that you resist the motion to smoke it out. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Brown, could you wish to? Okay. Senator Nygaard.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Members of the body. Well, as the Vice Chair of Judiciary stated, this has been through four committee hearings, passed the first three, was passed, and was vetoed last session, and then came through again, committee and House and over to our committee, and it's a close decision, a 4-3 decision. It certainly, I think, warrants debate on the floor of the Senate. And thank you, and I urge
thank you.
You to support.
Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Cutler speaks again? They're obviously working on the roof. That's what's going on, obviously.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to clear something up since Senator Valley got up and spoke with the chair not being here. I asked him, did the chair instruct him to tell you those things? He did not, and in fact, he had told me after the hearing that he would not get up and ask you to resist my motion based on it's had a committee hearing speech. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question is Senator Cutler's motion that the Committee on Judiciary be instructed to deliver House Bill 1144 to the floor pursuant to 7-7. Is she supported? She is supported. 1184.
Okay.
Thank you.
Senator Olson moves that the Senate do concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 68.
Is there a second?
Second.
Comments on that motion, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 68 would normally be spoken to at this time by Senator Gray. He's out of town, but he has instructed me to ask you to approve the changes made to Senate Bill 68 as they were his amendments that he offered in the conference committee. So with that, I would ask for your concurrence with the report on Senate Bill 68.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, this is final actions. The question before the Senate is Senator Olson's motion that the Senate do concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 68. Those in favor of concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Begalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
No.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Burricks?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray? Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
No.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Unhoff? Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher? Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen? Valley? Senator Maher? Maher? Senator Maher? Mr. President, we have 29 ayes, 3 nays, 3 excused.
Senator Olson's motion that the Senate do concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 68, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed, and the amendments are concurred in.
Senator Schleckaway moved that the Senate do concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 130.
Thank you. Comment, Senator Schleckaway, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the Senate. I would ask the body to concur on Senate Bill 130. If you remember, this is the bill that would allow the Secretary of State to conduct a local election in the event of a true emergency situation. All the amendment did over on the House side was add two words, and necessary, to line 10 of the bill. Everything's golden from here on out, so I would ask you to concur. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Schleckaway's motion that the Senate do concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 130. Those in favor of concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Begalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Burricks?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray? Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Unhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen? Valley?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 33 ayes, 2 excused.
Senator Schleckaway's motion that the Senate do concur in the House amendments to SB 130, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed, and the amendments are concurred in.
Senator Peters moves that the Senate do concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 146.
Is there a second? Comments on that motion? Senator Peters, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, Senate Bill 146 is the notice requirement that we put on online retailers in order to show that we had the use tax, or that they were to be paying use tax if the online retailer was not collecting tax. We had it in one particular section, but that section referred to some rules which had a penalty in them. We did not want to have any assumption of any type of penalty for fear of a lawsuit. The simple amendment took it out of the chapter, put it in a new chapter that does not have any rules affiliated with any type of penalty. And with that, it's a friendly amendment, and I'd appreciate your favorable support for the concurrence of the amendment we put on in the House. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Peters' motion that the Senate do concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 146. Those in favor of concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll, please.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Begalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Burricks?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Olien.
Aye.
Hunstead.
No.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen. Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 32 ayes, 1 nay, 2 excused.
Thank you. Senator Peters' motion that the Senate do concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 146, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and the amendments are concurred in.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 7, a concurrent resolution urging Congress to enact legislation banning
that stuff.
Bisphenol?
Yeah,
that'll A. Bisphenol A in children's products.
She'll
Senator Buell moved that SCR 7, as found on page 537 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
Second.
Comments. Welcome back, Senator Buell.
Mr. President. We'll just go ahead and call it BPA, just so we don't have to struggle with the with the pronunciation, because it's tricky. What you have before you is a resolution asking Congress to ban BPA in certain children's products. To give the members of the esteemed body some background on what this is, BPA is a chemical component of polycarbonate plastic and epoxy resins, which is used to strengthen plastics, which is including baby bottles and sippy cups, and is also used in a variety of products, including packaging products, including formula cans. Unfortunately, even at room or cooler temperatures, it can leach into liquids that these containers are holding, meaning that kids at very young ages can be exposed to these really toxic chemicals. Numerous studies have indicated that young children who are exposed to BPA have increased chances of having hormone problems and are more likely to develop problems related to hyperactivity, as well as later life having increased risk of breast cancer and testicular cancer. There are alternatives that are on the market that are commercially available, and many companies have already recognized that there's a body of evidence out there that's growing to indicate that these do cause problems, especially in young children, and are creating BPA-free alternatives. Additionally, other states and as well as the European Union and Canada have enacted bans on BPA in children's products, and I think it's time that the federal government take a pretty serious look at this in making sure that we're protecting kids from these toxic chemicals. So with that, I would respectfully urge your support of SCR 7. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks, Senator Krause.
Thank you, Mr. President. With all due respect, seriously, to the Honorable Senator from Sioux Falls, and I hope I'm not known as a resolution ripper, but I do have some concerns about this resolution. The FDA is taking reasonable steps to reduce exposure to BPA. It's supporting recommendations from the Department of Health and Human Services for infant feeding and food preparation to reduce exposure. It makes me a little nervous when we try to base what we're doing here on what's happening in Canada, the European Union, and Japan. And I don't believe that we as a state senate know enough about this chemical to put ourselves in an advisory position to the U.S. Congress. Thank you.
Further remarks,
Mr. President.
Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Honorable members of the body, well, just to give you a little history on this resolution, it began as a bill in the House, the other side of the rotunda and the other side of the aisle from where I sit. And it was suggested by the lobbyists that, well, why don't you instead do a resolution? And so the bill went down, and they went after the resolution in reliance on that statement. I want to quote from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I used to practice law in Milwaukee, and I'm quite familiar with this paper. The industry has launched an unprecedented public relations blitz that uses many of the same tactics and people the tobacco industry used in its decades-long fight against regulation. This time, the industry's arsenal includes state-of-the-art technology, their modern-day Trojan horse blogs, Facebook, Twitter, Wikipedia, and YouTube. And this four-month investigation that the Journal Sentinel revealed a highly calibrated campaign by plastics manufacturers to fight federal regulation of BPA. BPA can affect children who are using the bottle for their milk. Downplay this effort is to downplay and discredit anyone who characterizes the chemical as a threat thereto. This is occurring right in our own halls. I think this is a worthy resolution to send a notice to the federal government, and I urge your support of the senator from Minnehaha County.
Further remarks? Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Buell speaks a second time? Please proceed, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. While I appreciate the good senator from Rapid City's comments that and concerns that we might not be an advisory body to the U.S. Congress, while I'm a freshman around here, I understand that this is by no means precedent-setting in terms of taking action to advise Congress on doing this. The senator from Vermilion is also correct that this did start out as a bill, and I think that there's a number of issues that some folks in committees don't feel like a part-time legislature is necessarily fully equipped to handle, and so I think that this is a great compromise position for us to put ourselves in terms of recognizing that it does cause health hazards to kids, but we might not be the most appropriate body to figure out the next step, and so we can urge the folks at the federal level to take a closer look at that. So with that, I would encourage your support of the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Buell's motion that SCR 7 be adopted. Those in favor of adoption will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Wigalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Burks?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
No.
Gray? Hansen?
No.
Haverly?
No.
Heineman?
No.
Olean?
No.
Unstead?
Aye.
Unhoff?
No.
Johnston?
Yeah,
Krauss?
No.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher? Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
No.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Peters?
No.
Putnam?
No.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
No.
Roden?
No.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen? Valley?
No.
Mr. President, we have 17 ayes, 16 nays, 2 excused, 17.
Senator Buell's motion that SCR 7 be adopted, having failed to receive a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared lost. Excuse me. Consideration of reports of committees.
Senator Olson moves that the report of the Standing Committees on Local Government on House Bill 1044, as found on page 584 of the Senate Journal, also State Affairs on House Bill 1141, as found on page 585 of the Senate Journal, also Health and Human Services on House Bill 1255, as found on page 586 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Consideration of executive appointments.
The Senate proceeds to the consideration of the executive appointment of Paul R. Kristen of Beadle County, Huron, South Dakota, to the South Dakota Science and Technology Authority.
Any remarks? Senator Hansen, good afternoon, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm here to ask for your advice and consent to the appointment of Paul Kristen to the South Dakota Science and Technology Authority. Paul Kristen is truly a citizen of South Dakota. He happens to come from my town of Huron, which he calls his home, but he has never forgotten the town of Mitchell, where he grew up and spent his school years. And he's well known in western South Dakota, where he's been involved in the banking interests, and I think he considers Rapid City and all of western South Dakota every bit as much his home as he does any place else. He's a pretty interesting person. I've come to know Mr. Christian very well. He has a son-in-law who is a former member of Congress in Minnesota. Paul is a former part owner of the Minnesota Twins. And in fact, I think during the time that he owned the ball club, they won the World Series twice. And he's been, you know, answered the call of state government on numerous occasions in the past. He served on the South Dakota Investment Council. He's served on the South Dakota Banking Commission. And he has been very unselfish in his willingness to give of himself to the people of South Dakota. And so, again, I would encourage your advice and consent to his appointment to this position.
Senator Adelstein.
I would join in recommending the advice and consent, having had a long personal, social, and business relationship with Mr. Christian. I didn't know until just now that he'd had twins, but I explained that that wasn't him. It was a baseball team.
Baseball?
The baseball team. He was a fantastic, and was and always will be, a philanthropist beyond compare. He loved being asked to help, and then he did. So, in many causes, and you're right, we've long since felt that if you lived west of the river, you had twice the intelligence, but only half the votes. And when Paul supported all of us, we knew that we were correct. Thank you.
Senator Rampelberg.
You know, I rise in support, of course. I think the same old story when you got his soul quit talking. But I got to say, you know, I've worked for Paul Christian for a number of years in the banking business. And he's one of those individuals that has the ability to envision the future and make just very good decisions. I am so impressed with this man, and I know that he will be a very important figure in a very difficult organization that we have here in the state, and I'm sure you're all going to support him, but he is well worth it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is, does the Senate advise and consent to the appointment of Paul Christian pursuant to the message found on page 494 of the Senate Journal to the South Dakota Science and Technology Authority? Those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Adelstein.
Aye.
Migalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead. Unhoff, Johnston,
aye.
Krause,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nordstrup,
aye.
Nygaard,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden, Schleckowe,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Dedeman,
aye.
Thiessen, Valley.
Aye.
Senator Roden. Roden. Senator Roden. Mr. President, we have 32 ayes, 3 excused.
The question, does the Senate advise and consent to the appointment of Paul Christian to the South Dakota Science and Technology Authority, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and his appointment is confirmed. Senator Bradford, good afternoon. Granted, sir.
Mr. President, as many of you know, my good senator from Rapid City recently went to Africa, and today he had to leave in a hurry, obligated to referee our esteemed kids in football. Before he left, he told me, he said, would you ask the president that when you have this in your hand, you receive the message from me that you could vote for me. But ask the president if he would ask the body if that could be possible.
I'm pretty convinced, senators, that it's a medication issue, don't you?
Thank you, Mr. President. That livened this place up a little bit.
Second reading of House bills. Our debate calendar.
Senator Olson moves that House Bill 1231 be deferred to Monday, March 3rd, the 33rd legislative day.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Senator Olson moves that House Bill 1230 be placed to precede House Bill 1033 on today's calendar.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
House Bill 1230. An act to establish the Large Project Development Fund to provide for its administration and to make an appropriation therefor.
Thank you. House Bill 1230, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Olson, good afternoon, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body, I'm glad on a Friday to see my colleague from Day County and Marshall County and Roberts County was so concerned about the governor's bills earlier. And I hope that he continues that same concern and support for the governor's bill that I'm going to talk to you about right now.
Point of order.
You know, Mr. President, South Dakota is the only state in our region with a contractor's excise tax. That upfront burden is a disincentive for relocating and expanding businesses that are considering South Dakota as a potential home. Our state started a large projects refund program. That program refunds about half of both the front-end contractor's excise tax and the sales tax burden placed on those new projects that are constructed in South Dakota. This program has been a success. It's been used to encourage over 46 different projects towards their completion, and many more are underway. Collectively, these projects have created thousands of jobs in our states. The existing program hasn't been perfect. Some of my friends would argue that we've given away millions of dollars in financing to encourage companies that would have came to South Dakota regardless of this program's existence or not. House Bill 1230 takes care of that program by converting the program from an automatic refund program to a flexible and targeted economic development tool that will assist projects that wouldn't have otherwise came to South Dakota. Another benefit for House Bill 1230 is that it reduces the cost of the existing program by more than 30%. We estimate that the system we're in place today would cut us would cost us about $23 million a year. House Bill 1230 would spend closer to $16 million this year. The $7 million in savings would then be used to invest in other priorities for our state. Having these economic development tools are important to our state, especially if we want to grow our economy. Each year, Iowa and Nebraska spend over $185 million to incentivize companies that are going to relocate or expand in their state. South Dakota only has a fraction of that amount. I would urge your favorable support for House Bill 1230, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks, Senator Frerichs.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and I hope that I don't get cut short like we did the last time, but I certainly respect your indulgence in the previous discussion. I also thank the previous speaker for his comments. It is the last day of the week, and many of us are excited to head back home and get back to reality as far as what we have going on back home. And yet today we're here to discuss some legislation. First, I want to make it clear that I myself and those that I would also speak for or represent, we truly believe in economic development, and I don't think the disagreement on this bill lies on whether or not we should have true economic development throughout South Dakota. I think where our discussion hopefully could fall on is whether or not to use general fund dollars to incentivize businesses that are coming from out of state to come here to South Dakota, when those general fund dollars are usually and oftentimes needed and utilized by our school systems and, of course, in the Medicaid situation as well. And so that's where really a disagreement comes down to is, you know, let's look at some different dollars. Now, in the context of whether or not to encourage more economic development in this sense, as far as using taxpayer dollars, because whether or not, of course, they're coming or not, these are tax dollars that first have to be paid to the state of South Dakota, and then through this program offered under House Bill 1230 would have to be kicked back to those corporations that asked for the rebate. I would remind you that, you know, that $5 million limit is somewhat of a burden. I mean, think about the situation. I know I already brought it up in state affairs, but think about the situation where somebody might want to set up a in their home or office, you know, actually have truly have broadband access right in the right in their point of location, which right now that's a little bit of our stumbling block here in South Dakota, is because we have broadband running on the main highways or in more common places, but to actually get it to the point of service is sometimes limited. You know, and so that situation, if you had even just 10 of those people that perhaps maybe formed some sort of a cooperative or worked together in that effort, especially if they lived in the same area or had their offices in similar locations, you know, maybe all of those people, and it wouldn't just be those 10, but if you multiply that amongst a number of communities, maybe they would total up to be $5 million worth of investment. That unless there is some sort of incentive, they probably would not do that any other way due to the cost of that infrastructure. And we all know that infrastructure is a large component for economic development. Of course, we can look at roads and all those other areas that that true economic development thrives on in order to succeed. I do need to call your attention, though, to something that is very relevant and just came about here in the last week, I believe. The governor was out at a National Governors Association winter meeting, and this was as of February 26, 2011. And he received a very well planned PowerPoint presentation from Professor Michael E. Porter, who is at the Harvard Business School. And it was very, very well laid out as far as addressing South Dakota competitiveness, and it's looking at our economic performance. Just a few of the notes that come from this report that Professor Porter provided to our distinguished governor. A few of his points that he wanted to make was, first off, in terms of incentivizing by using taxpayer dollars for this corporate giveaway, he points out that it really is kind of an outdated model because if you're going after businesses to try to give these subsidies, where is the true buy-in for long-term performance? And so that's something that has to be looked at. Now, in this context, I do want to make sure it's clear how this program has worked in the past 15 years. You know, there's been about $70 million worth that has gone through this program. And those have been some very good projects. We look at the ethanol industry, all these other great things, wind energy that has utilized this program. Don't get me wrong, there have been some good things done. Now, that's in the past. Work when you look at as far as what the future holds for us. And if I may, Mr. President, I recognize we want to get out of town here before too long, but I just need to highlight a few things, if I may, just to point out as well. Professor Porter, he certainly has some credentials, not only being at the Harvard Business School, but he is a proven leader in economic development. And in some ways, he fosters the term the father of modern competitiveness for a strategy here in the United States. But his point is, we need to find ways that we cannot have simply these subsidies that are given to companies that want to come into a state, but look at it more in the aspect of how can we build that economic development around that company to make it so much of an easy choice for them to want to come, because they'll see that not only the red carpet is laid out, they'll see that the infrastructure is ready, and they'll have all their strategic partners ready to go. And we can see that whether it's in the research side of things, we can look at our booming agriculture economy throughout our state. You know, there's a number of partners that can be tapped to work in true economic development. So I just want to keep that in mind. Just to wrap things up here, the difference where I fall as far as being in opposition to House Bill 1230 is, it even was stated in committee and in some discussion that maybe this total of $16 million, you know, maybe it isn't Some people said even maybe it's not quite enough, or we'll have some limits as far as, you know, how we'll be able to spend those dollars. And obviously, I know they want to be very strategic. But at the same token, those are the taxpayer dollars that have come into our state treasury. And whether we like contractors' excise tax or not, it's the law here in South Dakota, and we have to work with it. And by going forward with this program, it has that $5 million threshold, which I think is very limiting as far as some rural communities. I'm not trying to say that we couldn't expect some large corporations to want to invest in rural communities throughout South Dakota, but it does present a burden and that needs to be aware of for everybody when you look at the vote on House Bill 1230. Keep in mind that local strategic investments, by having everybody else work around the model of economic development in a community, really works well. And are we in a big rush? Do we know the current program ends 2012? It has that cutoff date. And sure, this is looking at only businesses that would not come any other way. I ask that we all get some skin in the game on this and work together to find a true solution. This, I know they've worked on it for a while. They, as in the governor's folks, as well as some lobbyists and industry. But you know what? Economic development here in South Dakota is dependent on all of us to do our part. And I think we can do more. And by approving House Bill 1230, I feel is not the right step at this stage of the game, where we have education and Medicaid that need to be taken care of. And I know this won't happen until 2013, but some people speculate that it could even be worse. And I'm hopeful and confident and optimistic that things will continue to get better, and we'll go from there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks,
Mr. President.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I really find this debate interesting, and there's something that everyone in this room needs to understand. The money is not there right now. The money that we're talking about in House Bill 1230 does not exist right now. The whole point of this program is to give ourselves the ability to overcome an obstacle. You know what that obstacle is? We are one of the very few states, one of only a couple, that impose a contractor's excise tax. That is a disincentive for a business to come into South Dakota and build. We are one of only a couple of states that does that. Think about this. You have a large corporation that's thinking about building a plant. And as far as they're concerned, the territory in Minnesota or North Dakota or South Dakota or Iowa or Nebraska is about equivalent for what they need. When push comes to shove, they realize and have to calculate out those building costs, and they realize that they're going to have an additional cost in South Dakota, which is that contractor's excise tax. This program simply allows, at the discretion of the board, to find those projects that might be on the verge of coming or not coming to offer a little bit of a rebate, 22% of that tax. Think about it from this perspective. That business doesn't come here. We just lost that other 78% of the contractor's excise tax. I'm telling you, if you want to take money away from schools and Medicaid, vote no on this bill. That's exactly what you'll do. Thank you.
Senator Haverly.
See me, Mr. President?
Senator Haverly.
Maybe I was so busy making noise getting up, I didn't hear that.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. You know, I think my good friend Senator Ferrix was trying a tactic, but it doesn't work that way. He was trying to talk this bill to death. I think he got it reversed a little. You know, Senator Brown made some excellent points, and I think he stole them right off my sheet. But the program, you can't take nothing from nothing. It just doesn't work that way. And I look at it from a different perspective, similar to what Senator Brown had just relayed. As we bring businesses into South Dakota, as they come in and they bring 100 people or 200 people and they locate here to work, you're going to get that automatic tax base just by them going out to your stores in your own community, into your own towns. that's what's going to drive the school costs and Medicaid costs. That, we live on that in South Dakota. We've been able to avoid a personal income tax. We've been able to avoid that that is at the hands of the government to allow it to grow. And I know that we probably have a difference of opinion in taxing and how we fuel and fund government, but this is one of the most effective ways we can bring business to South Dakota. I would hope that everybody votes for this bill. The car could be considered outdated, too, depending on what model you drive. But you continue to make improvements to the car to make it better. That's the same thing with this program. I think this is a great improvement. Let's vote for the bill. And thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Honorable members of the body. Perhaps it would aid us to look at the historical perspective of this bill. The first version of this idea was passed in 1991. At that time, Xcel Energy, then NSP, was planning a new pair of natural gas-fired peaking generators totaling 250 megawatts of capacity and a $73 million capital investment. Within NSP, there was a great competition for the plant between the South Dakota General Manager, Angus Anson, and its counterpart in Wisconsin, Jerry Larson. To advance the case for South Dakota, Governor Mickelson was engaged, and the idea of a tax refund resonated with him, and the legislation was also made to apply to the ethanol plants that were being planned at the time. The tax refund program was enacted. South Dakota won the contest with Wisconsin, and the combustion turbine was built east of Sioux Falls at what is now known as the Angus C. Anson Generating Site. It was the tax refund offered by South Dakota that tipped the decision to build in South Dakota. As a result, Xcel Energy benefited from a $2.5 million tax refund, and in the intervening 15 years since that plant was built, the plant has returned a total of $11 million in property taxes, with $925,000 paid just last year in 2010, not to mention the number of highly skilled and highly paid jobs that are found at this plant. I believe this bill represents a major improvement in how we're going to handle this in the future. We need it for economic development and to create jobs to help grow our way out of this budget deficit. So I urge your support of this bill.
Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate, and hopefully we won't talk it to death, but I did want to state just briefly, you know, a couple of comments that were made when this was referred to as subsidy. You know, that's the typical kind of misleading statements that lead us down the wrong path. It isn't a subsidy. It's an encouragement to businesses or a means for the governor to draw businesses in. I recall back in the Rounds administration when we had legislation on a yearly basis that was kind of, we were taking shots in the dark trying to legislate some kind of incentives to draw businesses in. And I remember the discussion surrounding those suggestions were shooting in the dark. We need, our governor needs to have the ability to use some precision and some common sense and some understanding the situations in each unique situation to have the tools available to draw these businesses in. I think this is just good common sense. It gives us some flexibility to apply some flexibility to the executive branch to see opportunity and seize that opportunity with an enhancement as far as the tax breaks are concerned, not a subsidy. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that the best way to increase our taxes is not with a 1 cent addition to our sales tax, it's to grow our economy. 4% of a big number is a lot more than 4% of a small number. So let's work on areas of growing our economy. That is far and away the best way to grow our way out of this problem we're in. I'd urge your support. Thank you.
Senator Hansen.
Hansen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that we sometimes lose track of where we started. And this is an agricultural state. We talk about so often that agriculture is our number one industry, generating over $21 billion worth of activity every year. Some of these entities
are not necessarily big out-of-state corporations that have chosen to come to South Dakota and take advantage of the incentive that we offer. Many of them are here to convert the commodities that our ag industry produces and add value to those commodities. My town happens to be one of the recipients of, I think, one of the poster child of the success of the fact that we have an industry that processes turkeys. Probably the most modern turkey processing plant that's been built in America in the last 25 years. In fact, they will process about 40,000 turkeys a day. That's a lot of turkeys. That is entirely, the ownership is entirely South Dakota people. And the benefit is they're taking turkeys that are grown in South Dakota. They're adding value to them. They're providing jobs for about 900 people every day. And then, you know, that the revenue that's available to those turkey growers is stays here rather than being divided with processing plants in other states. The ethanol plants were mentioned, and that also is a development that's been very beneficial to South Dakota. And these are things that would not have happened had it not been for our willingness to return to the investors some of those tax dollars. That, and as the senator from Wilmot said so well, you know, the dollars come first, and then they get refunded.
Senator Hunstad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Contractors' excise tax isn't just a tax that's paid for by big businesses, I might remind you. If you've had your kitchen remodeled, you'll find out that you pay contractors' excise tax. If this debate was about should we get rid of the contractors' excise tax, I'd be leading the fight. That isn't what this debate is about, though. This debate is about how we're going to bring businesses into South Dakota, and that sounds like a good idea to me as well. I wonder, though, when we're getting ready to do tax, if we're going to take the stream of money that's already not big enough to meet our needs, and we're going to divert part of that money to someplace else. I don't care how good the diversion is. I don't care how well-meaning the output is. If we already have a budget that can't be met by a stream of income, how we could ever think about getting rid of part of that stream. It would be like we're having a little trouble at our home, and so we've taken on a part-time job. I got one, and my wife got one, and now we're still not able to meet our needs, and I tell my wife, hey, stop your part-time job. We don't need that stream anymore. I don't even imagine how we could divert part of a stream of income that we need and divert it to some other use. Even if we did, even if we decided this was a good idea, why would you and I, the legislature, not be playing a bigger part of deciding how those dollars should be spent? It is no magic to any of you, and shouldn't be, that we have certainly, with the last program, we didn't have enough oversight. We wrote it in law once, and after we wrote it in law, whoever came along could get into that fund. At that point, we had literally millions of dollars flow out of state completely worthlessly. Money for economic development that was coming anyway. We, you and I, ought to have a part in the decision of how this is done. We're creating a fund here, a fund to be used by someone else. I would hope that this body would say we need to have input. At the very least, and I stood in front of a committee and asked if we could just get a picture as legislators of how this economic development money gets used so we could find a return on investment, so we could determine for the people of South Dakota when we use their tax dollars how they're being used. And we said, well, we don't need that. Really? We got a bill here this week to ask us to even stop some of the economic development reports that are already being out there, saying, well, we don't need those reports anymore. Really? Lastly, I'm going to repeat the way I started. We have a stream of income that's not big enough to meet our needs, and then we're going to create a fund, and then we're going to drain part of those dollars that are already insufficient away from the stream of our income. I would hope you'd vote no on this bill.
Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Olson speaks a second time? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. You know, this is a good way to get the debate going on a Friday. You know, it feels kind of like a Monday again, but at the end of the week, you know, we're getting towards the end of the session, and we've all expressed concerns about job retention, expanding the state's tax base, and talking about all the many, many important components of what we do here and how they're going to impact our future generations of South Dakotans. We had little legislators out here that really are the next generation of South Dakotans, and I really do believe in my heart of hearts that this bill helps to keep those that next generation of our South Dakotan that are being educated in our communities right now in South Dakota. It gives us a revenue source to entice businesses to make that final decision to come to South Dakota that otherwise wouldn't. There, it doesn't divert anything because there is no stream. Without House Bill 1230, there is no stream. There is no new revenue coming into the state if we don't pass this bill. I'm asking you, from somebody that enjoys the opportunity to spend the other 10 months that we're not in peer doing economic development, and how frustrated it gets when you're at the table and all things are considered equal with Company A, and they're looking at Iowa versus South Dakota or Nebraska versus South Dakota, and our workforce is great, and the location is great, and all of our incentives are equal, and then at the last minute, Iowa or Nebraska throws another $500,000 on the table. Well, I'm a capitalist, and as much as I love South Dakota, if I'm that person, I say, you know what, Iowa, Nebraska, you're my new zip code. This bill gives us the tool to level that playing field, and I ask for your favorable support for House Bill 1230.
Senator Brown.
I respectfully recall the previous question.
Second.
All those in favor of the previous question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Question before the South Dakota Senate is final passage of House Bill 1230. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. It requires two-thirds majority vote for passage. Secretary will now please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein.
Aye.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford. Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Furix.
No.
Frisley.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Gray. Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Olien.
Aye.
Hunstead.
No.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Krauss.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
No.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Teason. Valley.
Aye.
Senator Bradford. Bradford. Senator Bradford. Mr. President, we have 28 ayes, 4 nays, 3 excused.
House Bill 1230, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
Senate Bill 1033, an act to provide for the registration and regulation of appraisal management companies.
House Bill 1033, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Hearing none, the question before the... I'll make some. It's a beautiful day. Tom Nelson, Commerce, or is it?
Mr. President.
Senator Nygaard, I bet it's you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Honorable members of the body, this bill was brought to us by the Department of Revenue's appraisal regulatory body. we had been having a problem in the state where we were not in, we're going to be not in compliance with the Dodd-Frank amendment to federal legislation. And in addition, it was pointed out in testimony in Commerce and Energy Committee that the some of the out-of-state appraisals that were coming into our state did not conform to what are the standards of our South Dakota appraisal. This bill would require a registration within the state and allow a leveling of the playing field, and I urge your support of this bill.
Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1033. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. It requires two-thirds majority vote. The Secretary will now please call a roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Ferricks?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen? Hunstead?
Aye.
Unhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Krauss?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
No.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen? Valley? Senator Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 32 ayes, one nay, two excused.
House Bill 1033, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
House Bill 1062, an act to adopt the Uniform Adult Guardianship and Protective Proceedings Jurisdiction Act.
House Bill 1062, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Any remarks? Senator Nygaard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, honorable members of the body. I rise in support of this bill. It was brought to us by the majority leader in the House, who is a member of the Uniform Law Commission, Representative Lust. And as a member of that commission, he's asking in House Bill 1062 for this body to adopt the Guardianship and Protective Proceedings Jurisdiction Acts. Give you a little background on it. Because the U.S. has 50-plus guardianship systems, problems of determining jurisdiction are frequent. Questions of which state has jurisdiction to appoint a guardian or conservator can arise between an American state and another country. But more frequently, problems arise because the individual has contacts with more than one American state. In nearly all American states, a guardian may be appointed by a court in a state in which the individual is domiciled or is physically present. One of the most compelling aspects of the testimony given in the Judiciary Committee the other day when we considered this bill was the talk of elderly being ferreted away from, for example, our home state and into a state that might have a different law in terms of guardianship in an effort to create an undue influence of that elderly person, become a guardian, and be able to ferret away their assets before they depart. So with your permission, I would just ask you to vote in favor of this Uniform Act that makes it the same law in all 50 states as we do this. There are 20 states who have already done it. There are 11 right now that have it before them this session. That'll bring it hopefully to over 30. And in the next year or so, we could find ourselves in a situation where it's uniform throughout the whole United States. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1062. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Ferricks?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray? Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Krause?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Shakaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen? Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 33 ayes, 2 excused.
House Bill 1062, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed approved. Senator Olson.
Mr. President, I move that we defer the remainder of today's calendar until Monday.
Second.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. I have a number of bills to sign, so we'll take announcements again. I know people need to go to meetings. So announcements. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans will caucus immediately in room 423.
Senator Hunoff.
Health and Human Services will meet on Monday.
Monday. Health and Human Services. What time, ma'am?
10.
10 a.m. Thank you. Senator. Oh, I thought she was up. Any other? Senator Rampelberg, did you?
Thank you, Mr. President. Actually, I'm looking for direction from my chairman. But I know we are meeting on revenue projections on Monday. Is it 10?
11.
Or 11, that's right, yeah. Senate, but we are also meeting with the joint, I think, before that. And then, isn't that right? Okay, we're meeting at 11 o'clock, appropriations Monday.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate State Affairs, Monday morning, 10 o'clock. Got a full day.
Senator Krebs.
A flood, Big Sioux River flood update after our caucus, I believe, from the emergency management. Big Sioux River flood update, room 414 after our caucus.
Any other announcements? Please don't forget the calendar. Monday is the last day to invoke Rule 7-7 to deliver bills. So it's the last day, Monday. Okay. Please proceed to whatever meetings you need to go to. We won't adjourn until I'm done signing. Constitution requires the presiding officer of the Senate to sign in open session bills that have passed both the House and the Senate and to read their bills as I sign. The President signing an act to allow the shooting of coyotes from snowmobiles. That's Senate Bill 55. We call that the Maher Bill. President signing an act to revise the investment fee rate for certain employers and to declare an emergency. That's Senate Bill 57. President signing an act to authorize an organization to contribute to a political action committee and to set a limit on contributions. Senate Bill 93. President signing an act to provide a penalty for denying access to public records. Senate Bill 101. President signing an act to provide the parties to a divorce or separate maintenance action be restrained from making changes to insurance coverage. That's Senate Bill 114. President signing an act to authorize an alcoholic beverage retail license for certain malt beverages and wine dealers. That's Senate Bill 121. President signing an act to toll the Department of Environment and Natural Resources administrative rules on underground injection control class 3 wells and in-situ leach mining until the department obtains primary enforcement authority of the comparable federal programs. That's Senate Bill 158. President signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the Dairy Inspection Fund. That's Senate Bill 187. President signing an act to repeal the requirements for motor vehicle liability insurance safety rating discounts for certain older motor vehicle drivers. That's House Bill 1034. House Bill 1034. President signing an act to repeal the requirements to provide notice to abutting counties when changing the county plan of ordinance, and that's House Bill 1053. President signing an act to revise the deadline for withdrawing from a primary election. That's House Bill 1104. President is signing an act to allow legal residents of the United States to obtain a concealed pistol permit. That's House Bill 1149. President is signing an act to permit local political subdivisions with volunteer advanced life support personnel to establish deferred compensation plans. House Bill 1179. President is signing an act to allow consignment of auction of certain out-of-state vehicles and motorcycles. That's House Bill 1207. Any other announcements? Madam Secretary.
Senator Buell moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.